It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show. Paul Levin is my returning guest today, and our topic is going to be living in the flow. So before we get started, I want to give you Paul's background. He's an author, speaker, and emotional breakthrough mentor. He's also a certified hypnotherapist and an NLP practitioner, and that means neuro-linguistic practitioner. For the past few years, he's been teaching and enlightening his students with methods that help them transform their lives, and I think we all need a little transforming these days. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, Paul. Thank you for being my guest again today, and we're going to be talking about living in the flow. So what does that mean to you?
Well, first, to give an analogy, just so that people can get a concept of it, an idea of it. Have you ever heard of the basketball player who, after he sinks 20 shots, and he's being interviewed, it's like, how did you manage to sink 20 shots? He goes, I don't know, I just didn't even think about it. It just happened.
Right.
Or the golfer who gets the 100-yard putt.
Yeah.
And it goes right into the hole, and everybody's amazed, and they interview him afterwards and say, that how much practice did you have to do? And he goes, I didn't even think about it. It just happened.
Right.
I allowed it to be. Mm-hmm. There's this concept of allowing things to be, and that's what living in the flow is all about.
So do you consciously think that that's where your life has been, that you've always been living in the flow? Or was there a time when your life was out of the flow?
Are you kidding me?
Okay.
I think we are taught as children, as babies, mm-hmm. we are taught to resist what we don't want.
Sure. So that's why they go, no, no, no.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's that resistance that we carry on through the rest of our life that is the source of all of our pain. Mm-hmm. Here's a beautiful imagery. Imagine a cork from, say, a wine bottle, mm-hmm. right? And you stuck a pin in it. And I think the pin has to go that way. And then you put a sail on it, right? Like a little piece of paper or something. Mm-hmm. And it floats on down the river. Uh-huh. And if it gets to the spot where there are rocks and there's rapids and the water goes, you know, it's really rough, does the cork sink? Does it get pulled under and drowned? No, it floats on the top. Uh-huh. It's aware that the water is going faster, uh-huh. and it's aware that it's getting bumped around a little bit, uh-huh. but it manages to just keep going with the flow. Uh-huh. And that's the life I'm suggesting. I'm imploring people to adopt right now, because it's becoming, I feel we are entering an age, mm-hmm. a time in history, when if you don't live in the flow, your resistance to what is going to hurt.
How do you think people would experience the hurt?
Oh, the hurt could be everything from the emotional pain and thoughts that you have when the conveniences that we have lived with so far are gone.
Such as?
Well, right now we don't have the freedom to breathe air as we wish when in public, mm-hmm. right? Our air consumption has been restricted, mm-hmm. okay? We don't have the freedom right now to interact with people and their faces,
right?
Which is essential to the way the human mind works.
Right. We don't have the freedom to touch one another, hug one another. Even within your own home, one of the things that I'm hearing is that if you have multi-generations in that home, which in many cases, you know, it's your immediate family, but you might have, you know, somebody else who has come to live with you because they've lost their home. And they're saying that everybody should be wearing masks within their home now. All right, I see that. I see that expression.
Let me ask those in the audience a question. Mm-hmm. At what point do you say, I don't want to live this way? Mm-hmm. Right? Yes, I'm willing to get sick, but you know what? You don't even have to be willing to get sick. There are things you can do to prevent getting sick. There are things you can do that if you get sick, you can get better rapidly. Okay? There are people out there who have been pulled down off of Facebook, uh-huh. right, who are saying, you don't have to live that way.
This hydroxychloroquine that, you know, there's more information out all the time about that particular drug because it's about 70 years old, as I understand
it.
Wow. It's been out a long, long time. They've used it to treat malaria. They've used it to treat Lyme's disease. There's a lot of things they've used it for safely.
Yeah.
And because it's an older drug and because it can be used safely if it's done under a doctor's prescription, but it doesn't even have to be a prescription drug anymore. There are a lot of countries that have it as over-the-counter.
Yes.
And yes. So it's a good idea to consult with a physician, I think, before taking it. But if you take it as a preventative, you know, then, you know, it probably would ramp up your system if you indeed maybe had some pre-existing conditions even. What I have always said to people that I consult with for health, you know, because that's part of what I do, is to look at your immune system. And you and I talked about that a little bit ahead of time. So, you know, if you're taking vitamin D3, which is your immune system in a bottle, mm-hmm. because most of us are not out in the sun sufficiently to get what we need every single day, especially here in Florida, you're in air-conditioned cars and air-conditioned houses and buildings.
And especially with the lockdown.
And with the lockdown.
You're not out in the sun.
Yeah, you're just not. And so, you know, and then if you are out, you may have clothes on, unless you're in a nudist camp where you wouldn't have to wear them, but you have to be exposed on bare skin. Mm-hmm. So D3 is critically important. Vitamin C is very important for keeping your immune system up. And then keeping your inflammation level down, because disease starts when your inflammation level is up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's something that we can do. Literally, it, you know, it's in our control to do something
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely. And vitamin C you can pick up at the store. If they're out, you can order it online. Zinc you can order online. D3 you can order online. Have it delivered to your home. What else? I love sugar. I eat sweet things all the time. Yesterday it was a delicious piece of carrot cake. And I was also aware of the fact that that's my dessert for the next 3 days
mm-hmm.
because it was a big piece of carrot cake. What else can you do? You know, cut back on the sugar, cut back on the processed foods, eat more fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Exercise.
Exercise. Sleep.
Yep.
Sleep. Get 8 hours of sleep. Maybe you've lived a life where you didn't need that. See if your body really does. Take a day and give yourself 8 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Rest more. Mm-hmm. Work less right now mm-hmm. because the rest, your body can only repair itself when you're resting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true.
Right? And so rest more so that your body is constantly in a state of repaired, right? You're in a healthier state to be able to fight off anything that should enter your environment.
Well, and I think right now, unfortunately, people are so stressed. And so they're going to have to, you know, grab on to how can I manage my stress more effectively. And not everybody's going to want to meditate, and not everybody's going to want to, you know, breathe in the sense of what you and I know breathing needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly think you can do things out in nature. So even if you want to combine a little bit of walking at a park or walking in your neighborhood, granted, some of you may want to wear a mask. I don't recommend it while you're walking because you really need to get oxygen into your lungs, and you can't do that very effectively if you've got a mask on.
Right.
But, you know, appreciate what is around you. When I lived in Wisconsin, there was areas where there were farms that they weren't too far away. And so the baby cows, I absolutely loved baby cows. And so I would go and walk, you know, near these farms. And the aromas might not be the very best, but it was earthy. And,
yep.
and the cows made me smile. But find a place where there's flowers, where there's wildlife, where there's trees. Go hug a tree, but reduce your stress.
To take what you just said and expand it bigger, just do what you enjoy, do what you like. do what is fun. My son and his roommates, they bought a pool table.
Oh, fun.
And in fact, as soon as he posted that on Facebook, I called up and said, I'll be over in an hour. So, you know, do what you enjoy. Go to the beach. Go to the park. Whatever it is that will be pleasurable for you, because that will reduce your stress. That's the process.
One of the things that I've sort of gotten back in touch with myself is painting. And I haven't done that for quite a long time. And so picking up a brush, you know, getting totally immersed in acrylics or oils or those that like watercolors, which is a tough medium for me, but, you know, it's fun to do. But, you know, play around with paint. Get a coloring book.
You know, I love it, yes.
For somebody who, you know, is into cooking. My son is an excellent... My son is an excellent cook, chef, I would say. But, you know, he learned to use herbs, and he learned to use spices that were really like turmeric and cumin and things like that, so that it's not a salty, you know, like in the past he would have used a lot more
salt or pepper.
Okay. And now he's using real herbs
fresh herbs
as he cooks. So, you know, for a lot of people, unfortunately, they've kind of gone to the dessert end of things in their baking and their cooking. And so I hear that some individuals are picking weight up. But, you know, maybe concentrate on what it is that you love to fix. And then if it's bread, you know, give away some of the bread to
your
friends
neighbors.
And neighbors.
Right.
So that it's not all there, you know, with fresh Irish butter to go on it.
Yeah, when you make that big bundt cake, you don't have to eat it all yourself.
Exactly.
It's okay.
Exactly.
When you were mentioning herbs,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that somebody, a friend of mine, had taught me years ago is, instead of using garlic powder, cut up a garlic.
Yes.
You know, instead of using onion powder, which I would have just grabbed it off the shelf, I'll cut up the onion now instead,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm getting nutrients from that fresh food.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly ginger is
wonderful
to use.
Ginger's great.
Leeks.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of, you can introduce yourself to something you've never had before, you know, by every week picking one vegetable that you've never experienced before and figuring out how to introduce that into your cooking.
I did that.
Did you? What'd you use?
Edamame?
Oh, yeah.
Right? I had them years ago at a restaurant that somebody else had ordered, and I saw them in the freezer section. I don't know how to buy them fresh. I'm sure there's a way, but I saw them in the freezer section, and I said, ooh, something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I've tried something else different that I didn't like. We won't be buying that again. Edamames, I like.
And for most people, they can eat them. It is soy. And so you kind of have to watch a little bit if you are soy sensitive in terms of like breast cancer.
Okay.
Because people that have breast cancer in their family need to limit their soy intake.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha. I had a feeling while I was eating it last night that it was a protein.
It's a bean.
It's a bean, so it acts as a protein.
It does act as a protein.
Okay.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the things I did mention to a friend of mine yesterday, we want to eat less proteins and more fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, your protein for the day should probably not exceed 6 ounces.
Let me give the reason for that.
Okay.
Because when we eat more fruits and vegetables, the body becomes more alkaline.
Yes.
And one particular illness that everybody's afraid of that cannot exist in an alkaline environment is cancer.
It's cancer, yeah.
Right? Whereas if we eat more meats and cheeses and whatnot, that creates acidity in the body, which cancer can live in.
Exactly.
Right? So
well, that's where it prefers to live.
Right. So if we increase our alkalinity, we'll be healthier.
Well, and here's another little, you know, side note to that, is stress creates more acidity.
Acidity, yes, it does.
And so, again, another reason to learn to manage your stress level is to reduce that acidic environment for disease.
Exactly.
So, you know, it all works hand in hand. And I think so many times people don't look at their overall health, you know, and wellness state on multiple levels. They think of it as a physiology. And it's so much more than just physiology, because it starts with our mind. And we stay healthy with what we put into our mind. Stress levels, happiness levels, joyful experiences.
Yeah.
And so the more joy you put in there, the more happiness events, then, and we're not in an environment at the moment that has a lot of happiness because we're being told 24/7 by news media, social media, that, wow, this is an awful place that we exist right now. And I think you and I know that it doesn't have to be an awful place. It's a learning place. It's a place where we are experiencing something that we've never experienced, and we can learn something out of this. And so what are you learning? I know what I'm learning, but what are you learning?
Well, you touched on several points there, and it's very true that your stress levels affect your health.
Mm-hmm.
Your emotional state, guaranteed, it affects your health. In fact, there are specific emotions that affect specific organs in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do to be happier? And even before I answer that question, what's your priority? That's where this conversation needs to begin. What's the top priority in your life? For me, my top priority is my happiness.
Okay.
My well-being. So.
And somebody might say, well, Paul, that sounds very self-centered.
It is. So be it.
Okay.
I invite you to do the same. I really
mm-hmm.
do. Because are you familiar with, and we've talked about this story before, when you're on an airplane with a small child,
yes.
and the oxygen mask falls from the ceiling, right? Who are you supposed to put that on first?
Yourself.
You or the child?
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. Because you can't help them.
If you're dead, you're worthless.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Right.
Except to maybe push up daisies, which would be Monty Python. So taking care of you and your emotional state is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we do that? Number one, cut out the news. You know, when I was in a multi-level marketing business called Amway, I won't mention its name, many years ago, they said if it gets bad enough out there, they'll call you up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you don't have to listen to the news. You don't have to know what's going on. Take care of you and your family and the things that are in your environment to be taken care of. Let the world take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's nothing you could do to help the world at large, so you really don't need to know what their problems are. All right? So that's number one, get rid of the news. Number two, get rid of anything in your life that is a negative influence on you. I have had to tell some friends of many years, I'm not going to talk to you anymore because they were a negative influence on me.
Uh-huh.
They affected my emotional state. So that's number two. Number three, do the things we talked about to improve your health. Rest more. And then start adding in things that will lift your emotional state.
Uh-huh.
The things that are fun, do you like to laugh? Then find old comedy shows,
uh-huh.
right? You can find a million of them on YouTube. I used to love watching Stephen Colbert because at lunchtime. I would always eat my lunch with Stephen Colbert because I would laugh.
And your endorphins increase when you laugh.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. So if I can come back to the time that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a time worldwide mm-hmm. where, yes, from the outside perspective, this is not a safe place to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's the belief that you're being told. You don't have to take that into your own home. You can leave that at the door. And then inside your home, your environment, you create a happy, joyful, fun-filled space.
So I know that there's going to be some people that are listening right now saying, well, how on earth do I do that if my income has been impacted, if I have relatives in nursing homes I can't go see, if somebody just died down the street because of COVID-19. I mean, they're going to have,
sure.
you know, 101 reasons why. And what do you say to that?
It's your choice
mm-hmm.
where you put your attention.
Right.
I wanted to say a dear friend of mine, to truth be told, I really didn't personally know him that well at all, but he was the founder of an amazing organization called CEO Space, and I'd heard the man speak about a dozen times and talked to him personally about three times, you know, one-on-one, and he passed away.
And was it because of COVID?
I'm not 100% sure one way or the other. I couldn't find evidence in any of the written
mm-hmm.
articles about him. But I did hear some people say that,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Of course, anymore, I think everybody that dies
Yeah, well, that's the political. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the thing is, and I attended his memorial on Zoom, all right? I could then spend the rest of the week, the rest of the month, talking about how this wonderful man died because of this terrible disease, or I could just think about the wonderful things I learned from him and how his organization is going on still, and they're having a big summit later this month, okay, on Zoom. And so where do you want to put your focus? You could put your focus on the things that feel terrible, or put your focus on the things that feel good.
Well, and placing your focus on the things that you can control.
That too.
Because so many people, honestly and truly, are addicted to whatever kind of a news show they want to listen to. You know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. But I think there are so many things, if you want to become addicted to something, then find through Netflix maybe a show that I just finished watching, a series that was only on for 3 years. And it was the most beautiful series that I've ever listened to. I absolutely loved it. Couldn't wait. I kind of binged watched occasionally because each show was an hour. And right. So I'd watch two or three of them. But it's called Anne with an E.
Okay, A-N-N-E.
Anne with an E. And it was Anne of Green Gables.
Well, look that up on YouTube and watch it. I'm watching Merlin right now.
Okay.
The Merlin series.
Yeah, and that's fun.
And I'm loving it. And and it's it just lifts me up. Because every episode ends with, you know, it's a Disney-type storyline. Okay, so every episode ends with, on a positive note. You know, we've gone through the tragedy and the trauma with our characters, right? And you know what? That's a great analogy for the world today. Right now we're going through a tragedy, a time of difficulty. But in the shows, you know, in the TV shows and in every Disney movie, there's always a happy ending. Bank on your happy ending. It's coming.
Well, and begin to create it.
And begin to create it,
yeah,
too.
Because if they don't focus on where they want to be, if they only focus on where they are at the moment, and if it's not in a positive place, that's all they're going
to
get.
Right. You know? So turn your focus to where you want to be. No matter what happens out there, even if it gets worse out there, okay, which it very well might, all right? If you develop now the skills and the techniques to focus on what makes you happy, what uplifts you and provides health to your body and to the people around you, right? Because if you're a positive person, you'll be giving that to the people around you. If you're a negative person, that's what you're going to be giving to your family and the people around you, right?
And this is a very valid point, I think, for us to make right now, because I have done some shows in the past talking about energy. And we all give off energy.
Absolutely.
So if you've ever been around somebody who is very depressed or very anxious or very angry, you know, any kind of negative emotion to the degree that you feel it, because sometimes, yeah, then, well, not only, sometimes you can't get them out of your life because you live with them.
Well, then separate yourselves more.
But, you know, finding that space in your home or out in a garden that is your space where you control the energy around it.
Yes.
Is critically important because, again, going back to stress, every time you're around somebody that creates stress for you, then you end up impacting your own cells energetically. So now they're not vibrating at a healthy level. They're vibrating at a level that is destructive.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to eventually cause destruction within yourself. So it might come about initially as emotional destruction, but eventually it will be physical.
It will manifest in the body, yes.
And all of that is, if you can see yourself as this little vibrator and standing in a room or in your home, but it's emanating from you. So that energy, you want it to be peaceful, calm, positive, you know, supportive, all of those kind of things, rather than energy coming off that is destructive.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, because of the TV show I've been watching lately, the only example I can think of that would be magic, right? And there's good magic, and there's, you know, there's light magic, shall we say, and then mm-hmm. there's dark magic. Mm-hmm. And whenever in the show Merlin, anytime dark magic was used, it had massive repercussions on other people mm-hmm. that weren't even involved.
So let's kind of look at that in today's world for a second. So we have, I think, personally, some dark magic going on mm-hmm. in the world today.
Yes.
And it is worldwide.
Yes.
So those of us that are here, you're one, I'm one, but I know a lot of people that are what we call light workers. We've come in to our existence at this particular time in our life. We've got a lot of young ones. We've got those that are in their 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. But we're all kind of here to support, if you will, the dark that is going on. Because if we only had dark and we never had light, we never had a morning.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work very well for us. We'd live in darkness.
Without darkness, you would never know the light.
You would never know it. So mm-hmm. how do you kind of see that working at the moment, you know, through your eyes?
Through my eyes. Mm-hmm. Right now, I believe we are going through a massive transformation worldwide. There is a massive transition occurring, mm-hmm. or transitions, plural, occurring. Like I said, it may get much worse before it gets better. And that will be part of the process. But what's on the far end of all of that, I believe, is enlightenment. I believe that the darker it gets, the more people will become enlightened until a critical mass occurs, right? A critical number. And when that critical number occurs, there will be yet another massive change. And that will produce a world of light.
So in our lifetime, maybe?
Well, I certainly hope so. But to me, it really doesn't matter. To die, to me, is irrelevant.
Right, because it's just a transition.
It's just a transition back to my source energy.
Right.
Right? So I'm here for a purpose. Uh-huh. I know that. And I will be here for so long as my intended purpose needs to be fulfilled by me. Uh-huh. And when it no longer needs to be fulfilled by me, I'll be gone. And I will probably manifest as somebody else, as something new. Uh-huh. Right? Huh.
I'm sure there's some people going, oh my goodness. But, you know, that is...
Just to say, though, mm-hmm. think about the what is the biggest fear in life? Death.
I think for the majority of people it is. Anything that ends.
Right. What if you could live your life with no fear of death? Mm-hmm. How freeing is that?
Or I'm going to go back to no fear of endings.
Of endings, yes.
Because a lot of people now are facing an end of their job. Or maybe an end of being in their current home because, you know, of financial reasons. You know, the end of a parent's life. Or
every ending is a beginning.
Life. It is. And if we can kind of come to grips with that it's all a transition, you know, that if we don't have a spouse, if we don't have a parent anymore, if a child has died, if our best friend has relocated. I mean, there's a lot of ways that things end.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that those memories are not with you.
Correct.
And so the transition kind of goes from a tangible object, a person, or a thing, to a memory, which can be equally valuable. You know, so I think people need to wrap their head around it's not the end of the world. You know, it's like, how do you want to rewrite?
Even if it was the end of the world, you will still go on. Who you really are.
Yeah, your spirit.
Your spirit will still go on.
That's absolutely
true. Even if it was the end of the world. I'm not afraid of that either.
Right.
Okay.
They must have, you know, we just had that situation a couple of days ago, actually, as we're doing this recording, because the show isn't going to air for a little bit. But as we're recording it today, Beirut just had that huge explosion.
Oh.
And I've heard people say that they thought it was the end of the world at the moment that it happened because it was such a powerful blast. Yeah, it's killed over, I think they said at last it was like 130 people and one is an American. Mm. But, you know, we have things that shake us to our very core. And what we're going through right now worldwide is shaking people, I think, to their very core. Who am I? What is this all about? You know, what am I supposed to be doing? And they're questioning their very existence now because nothing is certain anymore. What they thought they kind of knew is now an unknown.
Yeah, yeah. So, and not only are we shaking people to the core, we're shaking systems,
mm-hmm.
right?
Financial systems, big time.
Medical system. Yeah, everything that has been a system for your entire life is being shaken right now. So, yeah, I mean, the you're right. We have to look. Suppose you lost your job.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have this opportunity. What do I want to do now?
Right.
I know a lot of people who are asking that question right now. What do I want to do now? You know, what I was doing was all well and good. It put food on the table. It paid the bills. I can't do that anymore right now. Not in this environment.
Right.
What do I want to do now?
Right. I've noticed, like with restaurants, for instance, you know, they obviously are limited space, you know, inside of a restaurant.
Right.
But a lot of them have converted the sidewalks
yes.
into cafes so that they can expand a little bit that direction. I think a lot of them are doing carryouts more
yep.
than they ever have before.
Mm-hmm.
Delivery services. I see cars now that have restaurant names on them
yes.
that I've never seen before delivering. Some of them are even going into restaurants. So Publix is now beginning to carry maybe like Carrabba's.
Oh, into supermarkets.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
How cool.
Yeah, so that you can pick up at your local supermarket your favorite restaurant food.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And you know, they're having to learn to think outside the box.
Yeah, be creative. You know, they're it's not an end.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beginning. What can you do? What spectacular idea could you have
mm-hmm.
that could help someone else or help you, right? Because that's where most ideas, inventions come from and ideas come from, right? Something you want for you.
Right.
And
right.
then pursue that idea. It's we all have a spectacular new opportunity here.
How are you going to use that new opportunity yourself?
Well, one of the things I had to do was come to the realization that my marketing efforts were not working and that I had to come up with new marketing efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, I was attending networking meetings, meeting people in person, following up with another in-person meeting
mm-hmm.
and, you know, people understanding that they wanted to take the step to transform the way their mind functioned so that their lives could be transformed
mm-hmm.
as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And that was working well. That was doing nicely before March. When March hit, what I offer people was looked on more as elective surgery.
Sure, okay.
I can wait for the breast implant, okay, you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can wait for my mind to be better. We're 4 months, 5 months into this thing now,
mm-hmm.
and those people have spent another 5 months in emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
Right, my other students who took the class in February, they've gone through this time, you know, moving along with what, you know, what do I want to do next? What do I want to do next? Right, no, not looking at the pain, not holding on to what was,
right,
but being free to go with the flow. We're back to that, okay,
mm-hmm.
free to live in flow. So for me, I'm just started looking at a program from. I want some royalties here, Josh Turner. He's an amazing marketer in the space of using LinkedIn,
mm-hmm.
and he's put together a software package that helps you do email marketing from, you know, finding people on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, to anybody out there who's got a business, take a look at it because he's offering a 2-week free trial.
Mm.
So take a look at it. I'm looking at it now. I have a meeting with them on Friday for them to, you know, help me with the process and. It's a change. It's. I'm still teaching the same material because I think what I'm teaching is going to be needed more and more and more as we go forward,
uh-huh.
right? How to be enlightened, how to be a light worker. If you feel called to bring light into this world,
uh-huh.
then we need to talk. So we'll get into how to do that later. Or right now. The website is I Deserve, because you do... ideserveaperfectlife.com. So just go to that website. You'll see ways to contact me right there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm doing. I'm just going with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for better ways to market to people.
What do you find that maybe some of your friends or family members or something, how are they coping with this? Because you have more skills than the average bear.
I do.
And I do as well. Mm-hmm. But some people out there that might be listening, you know, they don't have as many skills as we do. And so they're going, you know, what could I begin to do to reshape, you know, who I am at the moment and where I can go with my life?
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing there is to let go of what was. Let go of everything. For probably 3 months, I'm like, I can't wait till the bars open so I can start singing in the karaoke bars again, because I sing karaoke. I found out that there's a way to sing karaoke online.
Really?
Yes, yes. There's an app. The name is escaping me right now, but there's an app where they've dealt with the time sync issue.
Uh-huh.
And it's like you can even do duets online and be singing, you know, at the right moment.
Right.
Right? Because normally with
have you seen these massive virtual choirs?
I have not.
Oh,
that
my
would
gosh.
Be cool.
I'll have to share that with you when the show is over today. Because
okay.
That is just so spectacular, where they can take 7,000 voices and blend them together into
wow.
the most amazing sound.
So they're doing some massive time syncing
mm-hmm.
there
yes.
because that's a difficult process.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I held on to what wasn't anymore.
I think everybody's doing that.
I know.
Because we thought it would be over with. You know, 30 days, 60 days, maybe 90 at the most. There was no way. And now we're looking at the fact that people, you know, who we thought probably wouldn't get it again are getting it again. People that, you know, countries that were doing pretty well, now the cases are rising again. And so I think that, you know, overall, people are just terrified, would be probably the best word, of life as they knew it. There is no even new normal.
Right.
Life as they knew it, even 30 days ago, is morphing into something else.
Yes. That's why it's so critical to be living in the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rap, we're, you know, it's picking up pace. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
We're heading towards white water, and it's going to get rough. So if there's anything that you hold on to with an emotional attachment, so that without it, it's causing you pain.
Right.
Let go. Let it go. Think about it, remember it fondly. Maybe one day we'll have it again. But like I said, we are heading into whitewater rapids.
Right.
And you're gonna have to let go of the shore and just go with the water.
Yeah, and learn to, you know, be looking out ahead, knowing that you're going to maybe have to navigate a little bit of the
rough
times. Yeah,
know the direction.
But believing, I think right now in my personal life, you know, I've had to say, I believe that I am being guided. And
that's critical.
Yeah, and so I don't have to be the driver anymore. I can actually say, I will go with the flow and understand that wherever it's going to take me is for my best interest at the end of this ride.
Yeah.
If I try to stay in the driver's seat, it's not going to go as well for me.
You'll be fighting the current the
mm-hmm.
whole way.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. You want to know your direction. You want to set your direction, because
mm-hmm.
that's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can set the direction you want to go. Be aware that right now there's going to be some detours.
Mm-hmm.
The fact there always have been detours when we set our direction.
Right.
There's going to be more
right.
right now.
Right.
And let it be. It's okay.
You and I talked about something that I think it's not necessarily the best place to bring this up, but I do want to bring it up. And that is something that happened back in the 80s. You called it the digital angel.
Yeah.
And how, as we're looking at these vaccines that are on the horizon that they want people to take, and of course, I personally am not planning on taking it. I know you're not.
I'm not.
Because there's too many unknowns about any one of the companies that are creating vaccines. And a lot of them right now are beginning to share that there have been side effects, you know, with all of this. You know, things like headaches, fever, some greater, some less, but there's not a single person that has not had a side effect. And if you know that you've got a side effect, then you don't know the long-term quality of it, because everything we're doing right now is short-term.
Right.
You know, it's within months. And then yet they're saying, you know, this is something we're recommending. The other thing that I saw statistically, and I like to look at statistics a little bit, but what I did see was that after they're choosing candidates, they're hand choosing, okay? And they're choosing candidates that have fairly high T cells, and T cells are your immune system.
Okay.
So they're bringing in people that they know are not really sick.
That are going to get well on their own.
They're going to get well on their own. They give them the vaccine. It shows the T cell count increases substantially, but within 3 months, it's back down to the level where it was to begin with. Somebody then who is sick.
Wouldn't that massive increase mean that the body's trying to fight off the vaccine?
Yeah, could. Definitely. Because it sees it as something that you've introduced. And so I think it's just wise for people to begin to look at what vaccines actually do and go back to build your own immune system, reduce your own inflammation level. You know, eat healthy, you know, going back to just being in that mode of thinking. But this whole thing with the digital angel, that was back in the 80s.
Well, let's not leave the whole the vaccine thing first.
Okay.
So the number one reason why I'm not going to be taking any vaccine is the same reason why I really have not taken an over-counter the drug or a prescription drug in over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Anytime you start taking things apart in nature,
mm-hmm.
and then trying to put them back together,
mm-hmm.
you're going to introduce side effects, unintended consequences,
right?
I'm a strong advocate of holistic healthcare. There are things that you can do using the things that we have on the earth right now, right? Plants, herbs, whatnot, to be well.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly believe the body is capable of healing itself of anything, given enough time and the raw materials to do so.
Right. And okay. That's being aware of what you put into your body, whether it's a thought or whether it's food.
Yes. So, you know, a vaccine is the same to me as a drug, that you know, prescription drug or what have you, and I don't want to put that in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you wanted to talk about Digital Angel.
Yeah,
okay.
Because this was in the 80s, so I just think it's important to remind people that maybe have forgotten. I didn't even know about Digital Angel until you brought it up.
Well, I used to work in the IT world, so I would get notification of the latest, you know, things in the IT world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the mid-80s, don't quote me if I'm a little bit off on that. There was a product called Digital Angel that was touted as going to be a wonderful thing, especially for the elderly,
mm-hmm.
for families of the elderly, or for children as well. What it was a teeny little plastic thing about the size of a grain of rice. In there were sensors to see what your body was doing, blood pressure, temperature, things like that. So there were sensors in there. And then there was also communications in there to satellites so that they would have the GPS location of that grain of rice, okay, of that digital angel, that particular one. And of course, the way it was inserted into the body was with a hypodermic needle. So it was inserted under the skin, not into the veins or anything, but just under the first few layers of skin. And it was touted as a way to find grandpa if he got lost, or to find your children if they got lost,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you could just bring up the app on your computer and there you are, GPS location.
And now we could do it with our phone.
And now we could do it with our phone,
right.
Exactly. All right? It didn't, as I recall, it did not survive as a product back then.
Mm-hmm.
The public just was not ready
mm-hmm.
for that sort of thing. So the reason you wanted to bring it up, could it, you know, resurface? Could something like that resurfaced? By the way, it was one of the predecessors to the idea of the RFID chip, which tracks all of our products today.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You go into Walmart and you pick up something expensive and you head for the door, it's going to set off alarms because it's got an RFID chip in it.
Right.
What is coming and could be exciting with RFID is eventually you will head for the door and it will simply charge your account.
Oh.
It'll take the money right out of your bank account.
Wow.
Yeah.
But what if they don't have a bank account?
In order to walk in the store, you'll have to have some way of paying.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. And whatever your method is of paying, you don't have to go to the register. You won't have to do any of that. The chip itself will identify itself as you walk out the door and charge you.
What about a person who says, I only want to pay with cash?
Cash may become illegal.
You know, that is happening in some companies. I don't know about illegal, but I know in Sweden, they actually have these little chips that they are putting at the wrist, and you swipe your wrist.
Really?
Uh-huh. In order to pay for something. And there are definite ramifications that might not be so good down the road with that. But they have people that have volunteered to try this out.
Well, it's amazing. It's a wonderful convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And unless somebody steals your wrist, they can't rob you.
But the other aspect, though, is what if, you know, people steal identity all the time? So what if they don't need your wrist, but hopefully they don't chop it off? But
well, we've had plenty of TV shows where these scenarios have been played out
right.
for us. So we're all prepared. For those who look at biblical prophecy,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm familiar with, I don't use it as, you know, I mean, I'm not attached to it,
mm-hmm.
but I do often reference it because it's a source of predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a verse that talks about no one will be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And where will the mark of the beast be placed? It'll be placed at the wrist or the forehead. Which way back in the 80s or maybe early 90s, they discovered were the two locations on the body with the highest temperature change. And from a temperature change, we can produce electricity.
Sure.
And so we can power our devices, the mark of the beast, okay, whatever that is, okay, it may just be a little grain of rice with a little picture on it, and that's the mark of the beast, who knows, okay? But it'll be powered by placing it in those locations and generating electricity from
right.
the temperature change.
And you and I talked a little bit before we started the recording here about, you know, the what ifs. If you and I were to say, all right, I don't want the vaccine, but it became a law of
right.
sorts.
Requirement.
A requirement that we cannot issue your driver's license without that on there. We cannot issue you a credit card without that.
You cannot be allowed to walk freely without
right.
it.
Right. And what is the probability or possibility? I mean, that it, I hope very remote, but you just never know anymore.
We don't know. We don't have crystal balls. And mm-hmm. and we've had plenty of... So what creates reality? What creates reality is thought.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had plenty of movies that created those scenarios for us. Okay. Will we manifest them? I don't know. We will see. Which we're right back now to why it's so critical that we learn to go to live in the flow.
To live in the flow.
Because the changes are coming quickly.
So let's take this whole understanding of living in the flow and let's kind of scrunch it down to a modern day family that's going through COVID-19 parameters. So we have maybe partners, maybe roommates, maybe mom, dad, two kids, maybe grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, two kids. I mean, some combination that are going through this. How, as a family, or is it strictly individuals that all need to learn to individually go with the flow? But if you are living in a household of more than one person, how do you help that manifest?
It is very much an individual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, what is it? It's letting go of anything you had an attachment to.
So do you sit down as a family and talk about this?
Yes. So that would be the way. So it is an individual thing first. Mm-hmm. Can you influence other people? Of course. That's what I'm doing right now. Right? Take that transformation, that peace, that when you let go of anything you have an attachment to, that you no longer have, that attachment gave you pain. When you let go of it, the pain goes away, you're left with peace. Now you could take that peace and share it with the people around you.
All right, I'm going to jump in and say that's not necessarily true.
Okay.
Because let's say that you had an attachment. I'm going to use today's scenario. An attachment to a grandmother, a grandfather that you didn't get to say goodbye to. Because hospitals are saying, no, you can't come in.
Right.
Nursing homes are saying, you can't come in. And so you didn't get to even go to a funeral mm-hmm. because of today's situation. Everything is like you did on Zoom, paying your respects
yes.
that way. So that individual may say, the attachment is still in my heart. It's
yes.
still in my mind. And it's bringing me pain because I didn't get to say my goodbyes.
Okay, so The pain, uh-huh. in this scenario, we're talking about the loss of a loved one, okay? The pain is the loss.
Right.
If all your focus was on all the wonderful things that Grandma did, and Grandma was always so funny, and Grandma always had the greatest ideas, and what would Grandma say right now? And you could be talking about Grandma lots for the next 6 years
mm-hmm.
with zero pain.
Okay, so the shift, and that's what I want people to hear, is I know that listeners quite often are going to go, well, that's fine for you to say, but. And what you're really saying to them is the importance is to shift your thoughts from the loss and the pain of that loss
yes.
to remembering all the beautiful things that you had together rather than the fact that that person's no longer here.
Right.
Because life is a transition. You know, we all know that as we enter, we will exit.
Yes.
And when we exit, it is not going to be with our belongings or our bodies. It is going to be as a spiritual entity that has energy that will go on,
mm-hmm.
but it is not, you know, in the here and now, so to speak. So
I send out inspirational emails on a regular basis to people, and I wrote in one recently, you came into this world alone.
Mm-hmm.
And you will leave this world alone.
Yes.
Okay, and that's not a bad thing. It simply is.
Right, right.
So anything you've had an attachment to, at some point you're going to have to let go of that attachment.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Might as well be now.
Well, I suppose. I think there are people that are going to say, I love my attachment to my spouse, my child, you know, my pet, my plants.
What if there's a knock on the door one night? There's Russian soldiers or Chinese soldiers standing at the door, some machine guns pointed in your face. They barge in the house, they grab your husband, and they drag him out, and they disappear into the dark of the night. Will that be the end of your life? I hope not.
It would be the end of their life as they knew it.
Right. And hopefully you will see each other again. Hopefully you can restore that life again.
Mm.
But what happens to you the next morning? Are you totally incapacitated?
Oh, you would be under those circumstances. I mean,
you may not have that choice. You may not even have that luxury.
Well,
what if you didn't function and show up in the food lines to get that day's rations?
Mm-hmm.
You'd starve.
Right. And that would be obviously the very, very worst case scenario.
Of course.
For people. But, you know, there's something that's middle ground. And I think that is a lot of what we're looking at right now is in today's world. You know, the worst case scenario hopefully will never happen. But learning to not be overly attached to the way things are.
Yeah.
Learning to be more resilient, you know, to have the ability to look at disasters, which, you know, my goodness, the East Coast has had it with the hurricane that just went through and they're without power. And we may have it here in Florida, you know, still in the next few months because our hurricane season doesn't even stop until November. So all of those things, yes, we can go through some pretty awful things, but it's the resiliency. It's the ability to say, you know, I've been given lemons, but I'm going to learn how
That's
to make lemonade.
It, right there. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
It's the discipline.
Mm-hmm.
To say, yes, there's a part of my mind that's saying the entire scenario that I'm facing right now is horrible and terrible and I really don't want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
How can I use it?
Right.
That's the discipline.
Right.
How can I take advantage of this scenario right now? How can I use it to my benefit?
Right. And and teaching others how to do that.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I think this whole concept of making do with the situation,
mm-hmm.
you know, making that lemonade.
Making the lemonade out of the lemons,
and,
yes.
Right, and then being able to go forward and maybe helping other people learn how to do the same thing so that,
right.
you know, it's pay it forward.
Definitely.
You, I learned something and I want to share it with you.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, definitely.
That is very, very, very interesting as we look at all this. New World Order. You want to very, very briefly touch on that?
Okay. Well, first of all, it's not a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
George Bush
mm-hmm.
talked about the New World Order, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get his New World Order. of course, anybody familiar with end time prophecy in the Bible is aware of the New World Order, the one world government, you know, that will then fall apart, all of that.
Do you think that's where we could be going?
Very much so.
Okay.
Why are we not there now? Why did George Bush not get his New World Order? Okay. The biggest resistance, if you will, to the New World Order has been the United States.
In what way?
Because of the way we were founded, our Constitution, our beliefs, they are based on the premise that the individual is free.
Uh-huh.
And that the individual has rights and the individual has authority. Right? If you recall, it's not how we've lived for 30 years, but if you recall, the Constitution says that anything that is not specifically given to the federal government is reserved to the states. And anything not explicitly given to the states is reserved to the individual people. Right? That is our philosophy. That is what we've grown up knowing.
Believing.
Right? Mm-hmm. That is quite the antithesis of a New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so those who have the power and the ability to implement a New World Order, in order to do so, they need to change what has been the United States. And I anticipate that as a possibility as well.
Wow, that would be very frightening for a great many people.
It would be.
Yeah.
Just need to go with the flow if it happens.
Yeah, because then you're kind of saying that we could become another, I don't know, Argentina or another Venezuela or another, you know, any country that has that kind of lifestyle and government. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, very well could happen.
China.
Mm-hmm. Russia.
Iran.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the countries in the world, there's probably more of them that have that than, mm-hmm. than have what we got.
Right, exactly.
Right? But the good news in that is that there are more people on the planet who have come to the point in their lives where they feel those freedoms are my right.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what my government says.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so if it comes to that, what will come after that?
Right.
And
think hopefully
about that.
We'll move towards that enlightenment kind
yes.
of thinking. Because
yes.
you said, you know, it is like a cycle. We tend to, you know, from the
pendulum.
Dark moving into the light and then maybe moving back into the dark. So we have a cycle in the middle of
yeah.
us right now.
I mean, there's good news in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that is we are heading to enlightenment.
Right.
Right? We are heading to the new heaven and the new earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go Bible-wise, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some dark times along the way.
There always has been.
There
if you go back since the beginning of time, I'm sure there were many, many dark times. But there were also the bright ones, too.
The bright ones come at an expense.
Right.
There's a cost to have the bright ones.
Right. That's very true. Wow. Well, you know, we were talking a little bit at the very end about, you know, taking responsibility for our own health and wellness. So I want to go back and remind people a couple of things. One is if you go to my website, it's synergyconnectionradio.com. And at that website, you will see a link to Boomers. Boomers products are definitely nutritional products that I personally use that I feel have made a huge difference in my being healthy. And I would encourage people, if nothing else, to go and explore their website. If you decide to order any of their products, if you use my name, Lucy, L-U-C-Y, in the promo code, you will get $5 off of your order, and every little bit helps. So that would be one thing. They have a newsletter you can sign up for free, and it does talk about a lot of the things that we've been talking about, stress management and reduction of inflammation and building your immune system. So all of those things are there. I also want to point out that you can reach Paul at...
If you want to... So if some of the things that I've said have sound out there a little bit or a little bit beyond where you're at today, and maybe you want to be able to be like that, then I can show you the techniques and tools and the underlying principles that will allow you to shift the way you think to be able to be way more free internally and to be able to live in the flow. And you can reach me at ideserveaperfectlife.com. I'm also available on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn under the same name, ideserveaperfectlife.com.
All right, so I'm thrilled to have you back with me for today. I know we'll see you in about 3 or 4 months again.
Yep.
And so everybody out there that's listening to the program, please share it with others. You can go to synergyconnectionradio.com, or you can find us on Facebook, on LinkedIn, soon to be podcast on iHeartRadio and Spotify. That's coming up in the very, very near future now. So thank you so much for listening. Go out there and make this your very best life. Bye-bye, everybody.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.